This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Good morning, church. Today I'll be reading from 1 Peter 4:12 through 14. Suffering as a Christian. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, in as far as you are sharing Christ's suffering, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. So when I look at this text, the word that jump out at me is joy. Joy, excitement, happiness, what we had when we was kids. So on that, I'd like to pray. Father God, we come to you. We come to you looking for that joy, looking for that excitement, looking for that exuberance. Father God, you said that if we trust in you, you would do it. If we believe in you, you would do it. And your word says, and your word says, I can do all things. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for excitement. I thank you for the joy. I thank you for the exuberance. And even though that we might suffer pain and heartache sometimes, we know that joy will come in the morning. Amen.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark that our helper, he offed the flood, of mortal ills prevailing, for still our ancient seek to work us woe.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. When I first started thinking, I'm already off my page. When I first started thinking about this verse, a song came to me, and it connects with Stanley. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the Spirit of the Lord rise among us. Let the praise of the Lord rise among us. Let it rise. We're listening to the words of wisdom from 1 Peter, reminding us to be strong, to be disciplined, not to be surprised if there is suffering and sadness, mistreatment, misunderstanding in our journey. Since these things surely were a part of the life of our friend and brother Jesus, there will be times we do not find in ourselves the strength or perhaps the will that is needed to keep going. Out of a sense of darkness, depression, or doubt, we call on the Lord. When I said, "My foot is slipping," your love, O Lord, supported me. And my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. When we are in a low place, unsure of our strength, either as a believer or as a body of believers, we're not sure that it is enough, not enough, for us to be able to reflect Christ to our neighbors, to our co-workers, to our own families and our church family. We must, in humble acknowledgement of our need for help, cry out to the Lord, and he will reach down and lift us up in due time, which I believe is just at the right time, so that we may stand our ground. And after we have done everything, as it says in Ephesians 6, to stand. Dear Father, we come to you low and needy. We're depending on you to lift us in due time to a place where your light, your reflection can be seen as we meet our neighbors and co-workers, our friends and our family, and live among them. Thank you through your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up, and he will lift you up. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God, and he died for. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. That saved a wretch like me. So humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up, and he will lift you up.
First Peter 5:7.
Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I wondered why I had been assigned this verse because I think of myself as a pretty anxious person. I don't think that would be a surprise to many people. I am raising children in the United States of America in 2017. I am anxious. In fact, at one point I had to give up listening to the Christian radio station KSBJ for a while because in between songs they kept playing this little ditty that said, "I'm too blessed to be stressed." And it made me mad. I thought, there are people whose children are dying from cancer listening to this. There are people who have been looking for a job for 6 months listening to this. Why are you shaming me when I feel stressed? Here's what I notice about this verse. It doesn't say don't be anxious. It says cast all your anxiety. So Peter is acknowledging that we have anxiety, and maybe even the fact that he says all your anxiety, he's acknowledging that we have a lot of it. So it's okay if we're feeling anxious today. But what does Peter say we do with that anxiety? He says to cast it on God. He could say give your anxiety to God. He could say turn it over to him. He could say place it at his feet. But he uses a fisherman's word, cast. Perhaps Peter chooses that word because he's remembering another time when he was casting in the wrong direction. When he was out on the water and casting the nets and they returned empty. And then Jesus told him, cast them somewhere else. And what happened? They returned full. Full of sustenance, but also full of a reminder that he cares for you. We too must choose carefully how we cast our anxiety and where we cast our anxiety. We can cast it on people, on family, on friends, on strangers on the internet. We can cast it onto physical things like food or drugs or alcohol. We can cast it into habits like shopping. We should cast our cares and our anxieties on God because then we will be reminded of his love for us. Then our nets will be returned full. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we are deeply grateful that you are our God who has promised to never leave or forsake us. We trust your word that nothing shall be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus. We confess that sometimes our hearts are filled with fear as we look at the trouble and turmoil in the world today. Sometimes we are afraid to face difficult problems in our personal lives. Increase our faith in your loving kindness and in your power, that we may meet every trying experience with confidence. Make your strength perfect in our weakness. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, I would have to be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Jesus is a precious jewel. Lord, to you abide, be your jewel. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Good morning. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert like a roaring lion. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all of the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. This morning, I actually looked at the text that Mrs. Steve asked me to do and read it through, and you know, it kind of struck me because, you know, it describes exactly some of the things that I've been seeing so much lately, which is, you know, the devil and the ways that he work. Because I know a lot of people that when bad things happen or they go through things in their life, they like to say, like, oh, well, it must be meant to happen because God's letting it happen or God made it happen. But, you know, I don't altogether believe that myself. I believe that it's not always God. You know, the devil, he works too, and he has powers just as well. So, you know, I don't like to believe that God would make bad things happen to us. So, you know, the devil, it would be no point of him being around if it was all God. So, you know, we can't forget that he works too, and, you know, he does. He likes to wait for people who are having a hard time and are down on themselves and not too sure who they are anymore to, like, come in and attack. And, you know, I've been telling a lot of people that lately, and, you know, it's something that I see a lot. So, you know, I just try to focus on the fact that God is around and that, you know, pain and suffering may endure for some time, but it can't last your whole life as long as you don't let it last with the help of God. And, you know, it says resist him, and that's not always the easiest thing to do, but, you know, it's always good to have somebody in your life that can talk you through things and always keep faith in God. And it says your brothers and sisters are undergoing the same kinds of suffering around the world. But, you know, I believe that our suffering is different from people in different countries. Like, we talked about this one year at ACU. That's why I'm wearing this shirt. And it has a map on the back. But, and, you know, in some of those countries, you know, their suffering is different from ours because, you know, we can gather here in the church building. We can speak the Lord and say his name without worrying about being put to death or being thrown into prison. You know, most of the time, all we have to worry about is being called one simple little name or, you know, standing out from the crowd that you're so used to being in. And, you know, some people actually, you know, they can't even say God's name. They can't pray. They can't gather in church. They have to meet secretly. But we have the freedom to come here and gather together and speak his name. So, it's important for us not only to acknowledge our own suffering, but acknowledge theirs and not always try to compare the two because they are different in so many ways. You know, we have good homes and clothes and stuff. Some of them don't. And, you know, the only thing they have to hold on is God and their faith. And, you know, that's a hard thing for them because, you know, when so much bad is going on around you, it's hard to say, God's going to help me when you have so little, but you're holding on to so much. So, you know, and sometimes the only thing that can help them is us knowing that we acknowledge what they're going through and that we are right there with them, not presently, but in certain ways. And so, you know, like the Mexico trip that Miss Brandy and Mr. Steven are doing, that's one way of showing them that, you know, your struggling and your suffering is not ignored by everybody. It's cared for and is prayed about by a certain group of people. So that's what it's all about, you know. Just, and I pray and I hope that we all can acknowledge that more and we all can do more, because it's easy to say, you know, that's really good stuff he's saying, and I'm going to really start trying to do that, but then get caught up in your own worldly things and then not just forget about it completely, you know. It takes time and it takes actions, but we can do it. We have all the resources that we need. And so what if we call strange or weird or something like that? It's good to be unique, and it's always good to be different, because the world would be boring if we were all the same. Let's pray. God, I pray that you always move through us and help us always to reflect you and your Son through us and the things that we do. And I pray that you set a path in front of us and not only give us words to speak and thoughts to think, but actions to do and things to look into and people to care about. Because praying is one thing, but actually praying, when you can pray and do it, it's nothing that really you can't do. Because I can pray and say, Lord, help me pass my school test. But if I don't study and if I don't try to pass it, it doesn't matter. We always can just pray and then think that you're just going to, like, do it right then and there, you know. Because then it's like, we don't care. We just going to say, Lord, do it. And then we just, like, say, oh, it's going to be done. But no, you gotta put movements and action into that. So I pray that you help us to always remember that and always help us to continue to be good people and to always want to help people who are less fortunate than us, Lord, and try to understand their position, Lord, and, you know, not be rude and not always think that they're strange, but let's just look at them as what they are, as people. Like they look at us, you know, they look at us and they probably don't think negative stuff about us. They just like, they people. And that's what I want for the people that I know and people that I don't know. I want it to be no negative, just, or not what you see, but just look into them and say, that's just a person that God created. In your Son's name, amen.
DeAndre can preach and he can pray, can't he? I'm thankful for that. So last summer, Caleb McDaniel and his daughter Ellery went to Ciudad de Angeles, which is in Cozumel, Mexico. They went with a congregation in San Antonio, which is a congregation Caleb's parents go to. And they served there for a week and they came back here. And Caleb immediately sent out some emails to several of us saying, would you think about coming with us next summer as a fact-finding mission? Perhaps this is something that our church can be a part of in the future. So there were a couple of us who entertained it and said yes. So my wife and Cora and I are going. Jerry Watson is going, and Brandy and Carter are going as well with Ellery and Caleb. We decided to do that together over lunch last December. In January, there was an announcement made by Ellery and Brandy up here saying we got some fundraisers coming. In March, we had a big garage sale and raised, $2,000 or $3,000 for that, that many of you donated things for us to sell. A couple of weeks after that, Jessica Vaughn put together a coffee house talent show a night, and we learned a lot about each other, some which we will not talk about again. We had a great time doing that. Our children made bookmarks to give to you to pray for us, and here we are. We are next Sunday, God willing, going to be worshiping with the church in Cozumel, and we are very much looking forward to that. In the mold of DeAndre's verse and prayer, thinking about our brothers and sisters around the world, I want to ask Chelsea and Corin, the McDaniels, and Jerry to come up here. And I would love to invite one of you to pray a prayer of blessing over us and the children's home in Cozumel and the church that meets there. And I would also like to invite y'all to come and lay your hands on us. Too, we would love to receive that. So is there someone here who would like to pray a blessing over us? Just raise your hands and I'm happy to give you this microphone right here. Oh, you are. You're part of our San Antonio team. Welcome. Okay, come. We're going to be prayed over too. Thank you. Let me make sure it's on for you.
Bow with me, please. Heavenly Father, this morning we gather here together, Lord, in your name. We thank you, Lord, for this church. And we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name to bless this church. Bless everyone that goes in and out. We ask a special blessing, O God, for all those who are about to go on this missionary trip. Father, may it be success. May they all be able to go down there, Lord, and the people down there will be able to gain some spiritual wisdom from them, some understanding, and they may be able to open roads and break pathway, Lord, that they all down there will accept you in spirit and in truth. Bless everyone in their going and in their coming. May you be with them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tell me your name.
Athena and David.
Okay,
good to meet you. I've been here for like the past 3 or 4 years.
Wow. Yeah. Good to meet you.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord, a common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's word, a common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord, a common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's
It's our commonality that leads us to the table. Our common love, our common hope, our common joy are accompanied with a common bread and a common drink. Such bread and drink are often overlooked because of how common they are without a second thought. That's exactly why Jesus pointed at them and said, "Remember me." Because every commonplace we look, we can see the body and blood of Christ. It's not just the overly special moments, but the ordinary and mundane, the everydayness we find ourselves in, the presence of God, the love of Christ, the fellowship of the Spirit, whenever, wherever we are. So take and eat, Jesus says, after he blesses the bread, and drink, he says, and remember me. At your tables, please have someone give thanks for the bread and the cup. You can pray for each other if you like, or if you'd like to read the 1 Peter text again, feel free to do that. May God bless our time at the table today. Let's do that now.
It's time to help.
You're good. I'm going to do the offering.
You are?
Okay. And then
we're about to pour the cup.
Okay, you're good. Check one, check two. In just a minute, our offering servers will come by to pick up the plates. So if you have some cards or a gift, you may place it in there and they will be by in just a moment. Thank you.
To the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord, a common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's Word.
Good morning. The end of the fifth chapter. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. When we're suffering, whether it's being seriously ill, or losing a job, or losing a loved one, or a relative, we can react in two wrong ways. One is to assume that we're suffering because we lack faith, that it's our fault. As Brandy says, you could probably hear that on the radio this week. If only we had been better. If only we had had more faith. God would not have allowed this to happen. Throughout this whole passage, Peter says that's not so. People suffer because that's the way the world is. And Christians suffer because Jesus suffered. And suffering is a badge of honor if we suffer with Him. God will restore you and support you and strengthen you. The other thing we can do wrong is to assume that we're suffering because God can't prevent it. Well, what can He do? I was just in a traffic wreck. Peter reminds us that God is the power. He's the God of all grace. He's in charge. Our suffering here is limited, Peter reminds us. It's only for a little while. It may seem long to us, but God's glory is eternal. Let's pray. All-powerful God and Savior, continue to watch over us and look out for us. Support us during our suffering and restore us when it's over. Remind us of your power and of your love for us. To you be the power and the glory forever and ever. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, who also suffered. Amen.
Oh, come, let us adore Him.
We have no graduations to celebrate this year, but we do have one person we want to publicly recognize. Many of you know that Martha Watson has retired from teaching. Her last day was just a couple days ago. From what I understand, Martha taught in HISD for either 27 or 28 years, depending on who you ask. Do you have a firm number? 27. Okay, that will be our final answer. Martha is such a gift to this congregation, taking care of so many people behind the scenes, teaching in our elementary Bible class, eating lunch with folks most Sunday afternoons. And we know that the way that she loves people here carries over seamlessly to the ways that she loves the students in her classroom. I think of the hundreds of students who've received the attention and intention of Martha over the years. What a gift that they have received. And thanks be to God for that. And thanks be to God for Martha. So will you join me in just giving her a round of applause? Thank you, Martha. Martha, I'm not going to make you stand and come and talk, but we do want you to know that we have a gift for you. This says, let everything you do be done in love. And we think this captures you quite definitely. So thank you for that. I'm going to place this on one of the tables out there for you to sign the back of. I'll have a couple of markers out there. So during the potluck or even after the service, if you want to sign that thanking Martha, that would be great. As our last thing today, just a reminder that 9 short months ago, we had our back-to-school blessing and commissioning. Lucy Bell preached that day, and at the end of the service, she invited all teachers and school employees and students between pre-K and college doctorates to stand and gather right here. Then she blessed you as you headed back into schools and all over Houston. She commissioned you to go and do likewise, blessing others as Jesus has taught us to do. And then you went, blessed, and to bless other people. So 9 months later, how'd it go? Did you feel blessed? Did you bless others? I'm going to guess the answer to both of those is yes. And I'm going to guess that the ways that you felt blessed and the ways that you were a blessing to others were different than maybe what you thought it would be, or maybe in ways you will fully never know. And that's okay, because we are people who trust God's Spirit to linger and remain and move in ways unbeknownst to us. As we enter the summer months, the blessing and the commissioning are still there, not just for teachers and students, but for all of us. So as we are sent out this morning, I would like everyone in a moment, but not yet, to stand and receive the same blessing and commissioning we gave back in August. And if you're willing, I invite you to simply open your hands like this as a symbol of reception and openness to God. So let's stand, please, as we are sent out. You're welcome to open your hands if you would like. First, a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. And the commissioning. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before all people, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Together, we say, Amen. Our potluck will follow our class time today, so when you hear the second bell, feel free just to come on in and start eating. Peace be with you.
Seats for a moment. Is this on? Yeah. Take your seats for a moment. Steve and Chelsea and Cora, come up. They're slow. They're old. On June the 14th, 2007, the Sargent family left the plains of Central Texas and came to this common ground, and they began their journey with us to the higher life of life in Jesus Christ. We want to honor you at this moment and tell you how much we love and respect you for what you've done. You've been here 10 years now. Next year, this congregation will be 100 years old. 10 years represents 10%. You're part of the history of Southwest Central. But the history is still being written. There are stories yet to be written. There are stories sitting in this room that you've had a part of, that God has worked through you. We want to, first of all, give you a gift. We're taking up a special collection. You can open it now because they want to know what it is. They're giving money for it, so they want to know what it is. It's a special Southwest gift card that's only good for round-trip tickets, okay? there's also a special dessert that's going to be out in the foyer. And before it disappears, y'all need to go straight out there, and somebody needs to take pictures. I didn't provide for a picture, but y'all need to pose by the dessert before it gets consumed. This dinner lacks the normal graduates that we celebrate, but we wanted to switch it and make this a celebration of the Sargent's ministry with us. There's also a book out there that will be a commemoration of this time, and just like you're going to write things on the back of Martha's artwork, there's a book that I would hope that you'll take the time and write some sentiments and blessings upon the Sargents. This time I want you to be go into the center, because you're the center of attention. Physically, I want you in the center of the room. So y'all move your way to the center. And I would like the congregation now to surround them. And I'm going to say a prayer blessing over them. Let's pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we praise you for the way that you have created your kingdom and given us the opportunity to be a part of it here in this place at this time. Father, both in your creation and in your kingdom, you gave people the freedom to choose, the freedom to do wrong and the freedom to do right, the freedom to go, the freedom to come, the freedom to leave or to stay. And Father, we feel blessed that the sergeants have blessed us by doing the right thing and coming to us and staying. Father, we thank you for the years and the times and the stories that they have shared with us. And Father, we hope and long for many years and many more stories to be written. May they be blessed in their presence with us. May they serve us effectively and powerfully. And may we take care of them and love them and sustain them in their ministry among us. Father, may this time, this day, this meal be an occasion where we celebrate them and give them the honor for being your people in this place at this time. Father, we pray these things in the name of Jesus, who makes all this possible. Amen. I hope you'll stay for lunch, but you'll have to go to a class. Just stay around.